them as pastors and missionaries. What a wonderful blessing. I've asked Brother Remington to come and preach us a Father's Day message this morning. So we are looking forward to that. And Brother Remington, would you come and preach that which the Lord has laid on your heart? Amen.
Should we move this over?
We can do that. You want that up there? Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, just up here? Okay. So here we go. Let me move this behind it.
Yeah.
Let's take this down. Does that come out of there?
The screw.
Well, Dennis, does this come out of here, this vertical pole here?
With a screw.
Okay, it should be out of the way, so.
I don't get to, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. God, go ahead and be seated. I have back problems, so I understand I have to sit sometimes. If you missed the slide, we have a display back there. It's falling apart, but it still has some pictures on it. Back there with the display, we also have our ranch and church information. I've been a pastor to the deaf for 25 years in Phoenix, Arizona. I haven't melted yet. I'm still alive. Amen. So you can pick up about our church if you want to come and visit us in Phoenix, Arizona. This is about our ranch rehab program. If you know deaf youth who need help, boys or girls, you can hand that to their parents, see if they would like to come for that. Okay, we're talking about fathers this morning. I noticed some of the songs. I don't need to preach now because the songs say basically all. If you don't mind. I'm just taking it off. I'm not getting rid of it all. Okay. That come and preach for us about fathers. And how many of you are fathers? Good number. You have a big responsibility. Some of you have already gone through a lot of that already. Oh, what can we do? Big responsibility. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is," "the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Amen. We have an order there. It's not a pecking order, okay? It's just an order that God established for us to help us do a better job. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together here in your name this morning. We ask now that you will use your word to touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who's the top dog? God himself, who is under God, Jesus Christ. Who's next in line? Fathers, remember, raise your hand, the father who at least were not the top of the line. We have somebody to look up to be an example to us. And then after that, the mother hand. Well, let's look at another verse here. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. That's Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 to 4. Got my bookmark along with that. No, I've got that one on. It's supposed to say, and I don't know where I got this messed up, it's supposed to say, children, obey your parents. Basically, it does say something like that in there. But we know that children should be obedient to their parents, but this means something else. We as fathers, as parents, need to be the best example to our children. If we're going to have our children obey us and we set the example for them, we don't want to do what's wrong. Amen. We need to do what is right in God's eyes. Amen. So, children follow the parents. I am reminded of a story that I heard a long time ago. I hope I can tell it the way the last person told it. But you know how stories are. You hand them on, they get changed a little bit. He's talking about a father, and he decided he wanted to go to the bar. He wanted to drink. So he was walking, and it was a snowy day. The snow so deep. And he was walking. And then he heard a voice behind him. And the voice said, "Daddy, please don't take such big steps. I'm trying to follow you." The father looked back. There was his son in the snow, trying to step in his father's footprints. And, whoops, where was the father going? To bog. Not appropriate. The father looked, and it touched his heart. And he knelt down with tears in his eyes. He prayed to God to help him be a better example for his son to follow. Amen. God got him. God had a plan. Amen. I like that story. It's one of my favorites. Now, our God in heaven, we call him Father. Why? Because he is the same. He sets the examples for us to follow so that we can set them for our children. I want to show you a couple of boys here. Some ask me, who are they? Have them stand. We have a rehab ranch. Don't be shy. Older ones always have. We have, right now, we have three boys on the ranch. I've been going through a series of medical procedures on my back, trying to get rid of the pain. I have like four bulged discs and two protruded discs, and it's a lot of pain, but God keeps me going, so we're here. But these boys, we have three of them. One stayed on the ranch to help work with the animals. He's been on trips with us before. These two, new opportunity for them to travel with us. This is Kamal. He's from Florida. And this is Mellon. He's from Tucson, Arizona. The other boy, Isaac, with a military family. They're from wherever, you know. Right now, his parents are in California. Okay, go ahead and sit down. It's funny how God does strange things. All three of the boys are back. They're from where? Ethiopia. Ethiopia, what? Three different families adopted three boys. They don't know each other before in Ethiopia. But those three boys all moved here to America with different families. Each have different problems. The parents found out about us. That's strange. Maybe God is telling me something about Africa, you know. But it's kind of cool what happened. So we work with these boys and help them. A lot of the kids that come from Okuzan, they come from a divorced family situation. These are not. But the divorced kids are often boys without a father to look up to. No one to set an example for them. But we, maybe you're here, you've been saved, you have Jesus in your heart, you have a Father in heaven who loves you and wants to set the example for you, amen. Who us as fathers, that's a nervous thing. We have to be the best that we can be. How do we know what to do? Look to God for an example. Right? So I have a few things here. God's love is our example. Amen. God is awesome love. Maybe you know this verse, famous. John 3:16. If you know that verse, let's go ahead and look it up. Bible to me. My old Bible started breaking off at the cover. I've taken it to Africa 2 times. I think it's time to retire there. Man. I have a new Bible. Big. It is the house big print for me. Man, I'm getting older. It says in John 3 chapter. Oh, sorry. Let me do this the hearing way. John chapter 3 verse 16. Deaf sometimes talk backwards, okay? And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. There's two places you can go after you die. One is to heaven, and the other place is to hell. Which one do you think your Father in heaven wants you to go to? Heaven. That's why God sent his Son. God loved the world. The world means all people. We are the world, actually just a small part of it. So God loves the world. He sees the Son. He started with Adam and Eve. God told them, you may eat freely of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree there in the center, that one of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat or you will die. So it just happened. The devil loves to mess things up for us, right? We can't blame him for everything. But the devil was there in the garden. And he was there when he came walking by and he said, oh, come and eat this. She did. That's making a long story short. But she took and she ate and she gave it to Adam. I'm sure Adam is not dumb. He knew what it was and he ate also. That's what I mean. You can't just blame the devil. We make choices. We know to do right, we choose to do wrong. Have to learn. But God loved the people still. God told Adam and Eve, one day woman's seed will be born, grow up and will die and pay for your sins. God had a plan already from the very beginning. That son of woman was who? Jesus, born to the Virgin Mary. God chose. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And it says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's not going to be on the earth. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, we're not live forever in paradise on earth. Sorry, the Bible says that the earth will be bound up, it will be gone, which means we will live forever in heaven with Jesus Christ, if we receive him as our personal Savior. Says more, this here, God loved the world and gave his son to die for us. That shows God's love is what we call unconditional. We do awful things. I don't know your past. I know mine. I'm not really awful, right? I don't know. Really, if you compare the people, not all have sinned. We've all done something wrong. We've all done awful things in our life. But God loved us anyway and sent Jesus Christ to die and pay for our sins, no matter what we've done. Murder, hate, steal. God still loves you. Jesus still paid the price for your sins. God's love is unconditional. Let's jump down. Again, it's in John, but this is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Go back in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. When you preach to the deaf, you usually let them read the passage. Amen. That way, you're looking down. I'm not preaching, amen. Okay, looks like everybody's looking up except Kamal. He's still dead man. Okay, it says here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our wrong ways. Jesus says, if you come and confess your sins to me, I will forgive them. Jesus makes a promise and he will keep it. Amen. He loves us so much. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to forgive you. God's love is unconditional. It doesn't depend on anything. He still loves you. But if you want to get to heaven, you have to do it his way. Amen. But God loves you no matter what. Let's move on down. God's love is what? Another example for us. God is always there for you. Oh. 911. No answer. What are we going to do? God is always there. Sometimes we don't think so. But God is always there. I had another story from Pastor for Father's Day. He says, you boys, had a bunch of boys sitting in the front. You look up to your father. Tell us, what about your father? One boy, he says, my father's a lawyer. He advises to the president and other big, important people. And Pastor, oh, good. Yeah, the boy, my father, he's a big businessman. He owns a jet. Sometimes he flies all over the world. But, oh, that's impressive. The other boy, the last one, his father was there in the room, a little bit embarrassed because he's not a big shot lawyer or an important businessman. And the boy, he said, my dad is here. Oh, that was important to him. He knew these boys barely ever see their fathers. But this boy, he says, my dad is here in room. Amen. It's important that we have a father who is there for us when we need him. And so God is always there for you. That shows God's awesome love to us, and that is very important. Go to Psalms chapter 27, verse 9. Psalms chapter 27, verse 9. Got Psalms 27, verse 9. I hope they don't fall asleep. I wait for them to look up, you never know, maybe they just have to fall asleep. Psalms 27, okay, says in verse 9, says, this is David speaking to God here, he says, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I think David knew God would not forsake him, but he still prays, please don't, because David knows he needs God's help in him. If you read the life of David, how many things he faced, the troubles that he faced, was the same person who had to face Goliath. Can you imagine? He was a boy. He had to sling. He was a big man of war. David, of course, God will help him. Boom. Here, David is an older man now, still asking God to continue to help him and not forsake him. We have the peace of mind knowing that God will always be there for us to help us. Amen. That's a good example of a father. What was the first one? Unconditional love. God's example to us fathers. We need to love our children no matter what they do. Sometimes we'll get mad at them. Sometimes we'll have to spank them. Help them learn. Sometimes we will be sad or depressed because of the things that they choose to do that are wrong. We remember ourselves in the past we choose wrong too. We still need to love them. And what was the second one? Always be there for them. First, copy me, unconditional love. Second, always there. Be there for them. Go on down. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's almost going back to where we were. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Some of you know from earlier that I have Ohab ministry. This is one of the verses we often use for that program that we have. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. How God would always be there for us and helps us. And it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Temptation, maybe cigarettes. Really, most of the kids who come to the rehab program, they say one of the hardest things to quit, cigarettes, not alcohol, not drugs, but the cigarettes. They're more addictive, it seems, or have more long-lasting power to crave for. So, God says, I will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to handle. You have a way to escape. God will make sure that you have that way to escape. Amen. God is there for you. God maybe hates your alcohol. God maybe hates your drugs. God maybe hates the smoking or other things that you do that are wrong. But God still loves you. And God still wants to help you. Amen. Sometimes people say, oh, God can't help me, I'm awful. But truly, God does love you. Someday when you hit what they call rock bottom, the worst in your life, that turn to God. Remember, God is always there for you. God loves you. God is the one that created you as an individual. He created you the way he wants you to be, not the way you decided to be, but God created you the way you are, and God loves you, and he wants you to come to him. He wants to help you. He's always there for you. Amen. Let's move on down to the third thing. God wants you to be with him, both here on the earth and someday up in heaven. We need to be that example too for our children. Do you want your children to be with you? Hopefully you do. Let's take a look at John chapter 14, the book of John chapter 14, verses 2 to 3. John chapter 14, verses 2 to 3. Some of you already know that verse, huh? Good verse of encouragement. God wants you with him, says him. John chapter 14. Verses 2 and 3 says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not, so I would have told you. And Jesus says here, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wow, Jesus, he was here on the earth. He taught the disciples, he taught the people. He was crucified, he died, he was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. He continued teaching his disciples, and then one day Jesus went up into heaven. Before he went, he made this promise. He goes to prepare a place for us. Someday he will come again and take us up there to be with him. Amen. It's so wonderful to know you have a Father that has a place for you. I have some kids that are already home, but they still live at home. We have a place. Amen. We have a Father who cares for us and wants to help us. Three things. Love. God's love is unconditional. Wonderful. Two, God is always there for you. Three, God wants you to be with him, there with him. Amen. God is love. God's wonderful. Maybe you have a question. I don't know about you. When I was about age 7, I was a little bit younger than 7, just before my birthday, I heard about Jesus Christ. I forced, when I was growing up, because of my deafness, I didn't understand what, why this baby, really, I didn't even know the baby born at Christmas time, is the same person who was hung on the cross. And I didn't understand why he was hung on the cross. I was deaf. The first, I didn't know it was the same person. But I got hearing aids about that time, and my Sunday school teacher, she saw the hearing aids. My kid's deaf. He probably never understood much before, so she took the time to get a book from the Bell Rice Ranch. She studied it, how to witness to a deaf person. She used pictures and talking directly to me so I could understand her. Before growing up, church was boring. The hearing preacher. I cannot read their lips. If I had binoculars, I still could not read their lips. It's impossible. But my Sunday school teacher, all right, Jesus loves you. How to read her lips. I thank God for that. She took the time to study and figure out how to witness to me. She explained everything to me, and I was like, you mean that baby from Christmas time is this guy on the cross at Easter time? Oh, why would they put him on the cross for her? She explained, because Jesus loves you, and Jesus, he died to pay for your sin. Let's go into that. Maybe you know the Romans Road. What is that? Romans 3:23. I'm going to make it short to find that in the Bible. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3:23. Says here, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My teacher, she asked me, do you have sin? And she asked me if I had done sin. May I plead, you have sin. I never heard the word sin before in my life. I'd seen my mom, she said, oh, the horses are out. My sister said, the dog is barking, so I knew horse, dog, I knew barking, I see her. But sin, I don't know what is sin, so I figured if I had any sin, I would already know because my mom and my sister would have told me so. Right? So when my teacher asked me, do you have sin, I said, nope. I didn't think I had any sins on. I've seen it on the lips before. Oops. But it says here, all have sinned. So my teacher, she thought a little bit. Have you ever lied before? How do we live? Not getting good sound, Carrie, okay? I won't smack it too hard. But my heart started beating. I knew the word lie. How did I know the word lie? Because I saw my sister. Me and my sister was in the kitchen one morning. She slid the chair up to the countertop. We were little kids, you have to understand. We don't know better. And my sister, she got up on the chair. She got out some cookies. She looked like she was shocked. She looked at me. I thought maybe she didn't realize I was in the kitchen with her. So she looked shocked. She pushed the chair back. She stood there like this. But I thought she was going to share cookies with me. So she was hiding behind her back. Looking, so I was over here, I looked, oh, Mom is coming. I don't know how sisters do that. They have some kind of mom radar or something. They know when Mom is coming. I never know when Mom is coming. She always catches me doing that, my sister. So I thought, okay, fine, I'll be quiet, stand there. Mom came in. And she was going to go through, I guess she was doing laundry or something, I forget, but and my sister, hi, Mom! I thought, she's older than me, but she blew it. You never say hi, Mom, when you've been home with your mom all day, right? So my mom looks at my sister, she's standing there. There it goes. My mom. What do you have in your hand? My sister. Nothing. Nothing in your hand. My mom. She's smart. What do you have in your other hand? My sister. Nothing. Moms are very, very, very smart. My mom, she says, I want to see both of your hands right now. My sister, her face went white. There were the cookies. My mom, she said, you lied to me. The wooden spoon. Pop, 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 pop. No. Lie. Oh. Oh. Well, my teacher asked me, have you lied before? I'm like, you won't tell my mom, will you? My teacher, she says, no, my point is lie is a sin, one of many sins. So that means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You lied before. Shows you have sinful nature. Oh, that's why my heart go boom, 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 because I have sin. Yes, I have sin. She explained to me that God loves me. Just take a look at Romans 6:23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And it says here, I'll wait for the earth to catch up. I hope you don't mind. It says, for the wages of sin is death. How the verse, death and hell, associated together. And it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So my teacher, she says, wages of sin is death. It'll put you in hell. But God has a plan. He has a gift for you. If you'd like to see gifts, remember Christmas at home with your parents, with your father. Gifts. My gift. Jesus has a plan. Let's go on over. Let's just jump over to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. To understand from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died on the cross. That was God's gift. That doesn't sound like a good gift, but really it's a wonderful gift, because if Jesus did not die on the cross to pay for our sins, we would be stuck paying for our own sins forever in hell. And that's awful. So Jesus' death on the cross is a wonderful gift to us. And it says here in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes, Jesus died for us. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. You have to believe that. Maybe that's hard for some people to believe, but it's a very important part. Because if Jesus did not raise from the dead, it would show that he did not finish successfully pay for our sins. But Jesus did raise from the dead. It showed that he finished paid our sins. The Bible indicates that more than 500 people saw him alive after he was crucified. We have enough witnesses there to stand up in court today here in America. Yes, he did. He's alive. And we saw him. 500 people can testify. Amen. Really more than that, I'm sure. And it says here, it says, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we believe, Jesus truly did pay for our sins on the cross, and he rose again from the dead, and we confess it, we can receive salvation from Jesus Christ. Wow. Which means, but, means someday, if we die, we get to go to heaven. We don't have to worry about hell anymore. We become a child of God. And heaven sounds like a much better place than hell. Hell is hot. Fire is dark. How is that possible? The hottest part of the fire is black light. Meaning you can't see it. Whoever you like to go have cook out, have a campfire like that. Sit there, watch the fire. Get darker, darker, darker. Notice white and yellow flames. Down here where the word is hot, blue flames. Sometimes we see the log flame over it. There's nothing there. Whoa. Be careful. Get stuck. Put it in the yellow flames. Finally it catches on fire. Put it out. Take the same word, different stick. Stick it between the flame and the word. Fast, catch on fire. Why? Because that's the hottest part of the flame. It's called black light. That's hell. There's no water there. Ask the rich man. He's already there. That's awful. He begged, please send somebody to go back to the earth. No, my brother's not come here. It's an awful place. No water in his hut. Right? But God wants us to be saved. God wants us to escape from the powers of hell and go to heaven. It says in verse 13, we answer how we can get this. It says, for whoso shall be saved. It's not what I hope, my good is more than my bad, I hope. No, that's guessing game. God doesn't make you play guessing game. God doesn't